Good evening, everybody. How are we all feeling tonight?
Fantastic.
Good, good. Sounds like we got a few warm bodies on the line today. What is the date today? It is December 12th, isn't it? Or the 11th, actually.
11th.
Okay, thanks for that help there. December 11th, 2008. Our days in 2008 are dwindling quickly here. But we'll carry forward regardless, and we are recording the call for those of you that hop on later and listen to us on the e-learning system. Last week, we got into objections, covered some of the basic points that need to be kept in mind there. Now, this week, I am going to cover, basically what we talked about last week is objections, but there's two kinds of objections, if you remember. And one kind, which are the knee-jerk reactions, is solved through inoculation. And the other, which are genuine questions and concerns, is solved through the basic objection techniques that we talked about last time. Today, let's talk about something that makes objections go away entirely. And this is without you inoculating at all. And it's kind of the holy grail to develop this attribute, to develop this technique, which is trust. Right? You think about it. If people really trusted you 100%, you wouldn't get any objections, would you? That's why these kinds of things come up. People have these questions, they have these concerns, because, you know, well, can this guy really do what he says he can do? Is the product really going to be the way that he says it? Is this really going to be worth my limited resources? That's a big deal in the economy right now. Everybody's tight. Nobody has as much money as they used to. And so they're looking extra hard at all these decisions that we're asking them to make. Those of you that have been to Kurt's boot camp, the Perfect Persuasion boot camp, we spend quite a bit of time on trust and run you through some exercises on that. And, you know, watch your email for when we announce the next one of these. We're looking at a few dates early next year. And it'd be good for you to make it out to that. In your Magnetic Persuasion Manual, page 227 is the summary of the information that we'll be talking about today. Let's use an example to illustrate the concept of trust. Let's use an example here. Let's say that you had a chunk of change, maybe you had $10,000. And you wanted to invest it. You wanted to grow that money. And you knew that your friend Bill was absolutely the greatest stock market investor on the planet. And when I say knew, you know. I mean, when Bill gets a return, he gets it. When he says, look, I can make you, you know, 25% on your money, he makes it. And Bill comes to you and says, hey, I need $10,000. I can make you 25% return on your money over the next 2 weeks. Some of you have some knee-jerk reactions to that statement, don't you? You're thinking, well, can he really? Well, what about this? Right? Whatever your knee-jerk reaction is, whatever you're thinking about what Bill said, if you doubted it, it means you didn't really trust him. If you did trust him completely, you would have given him the money. Many times, even if you don't have it, you'll go find it because your trust for Bill is so high. Okay? So this is obviously something that's developed over time. And you've met people before that they walk into a room and you just feel like you can trust them more. There's a lot of attributes that they have, a lot of ways that they carry themselves, where they come off trustworthy, whereas there's other things that other people do where you're thinking, I'm not going to trust that person at all. Even though they may be trustworthy. Okay. Some of you may have seen a video clip that we show, and it's got Mark Victor Hansen, who's one of the big gurus in the personal development industry. And it's on, I think it was on CNN, Anderson Cooper or something like that. Anderson Cooper is interviewing this guy that wrote a book. And I think the book was called Sham or something like that. And it's this book that basically knocks on the personal development industry and tells people how they can protect themselves against it. And Cooper brings on Mark Victor Hansen as kind of the counterpoint to this author. And, you know, this author talks about, well, this is a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and, you know, none of these books work, and people need to protect themselves. And you know, Anderson Cooper kind of tells him, well, aren't you in the field then? I mean, you're telling people how to better themselves. And, you know, it was kind of funny. He never really had an answer for it. But Mark Victor Hansen came and debated this guy on the merits of the personal development industry. Now, putting all the logic aside, if you were to mute the TV and watch these two guys do this debate, do you think you could tell who won and who lost? And who you trust and who you don't trust?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, it was very clear. Very clear. Mark Victor Hansen sitting straight up, shoulders back, making eye contact with the camera, correct body language, smiling. And this other guy was looking at the floor while he was talking, kind of tilting his head to the side. And it was almost like it was staged, because the way he would tilt his head down, the lighting would hit, so it would kind of cast a shadow on his face. And it just was just horrible. And I'm thinking, how's this guy going to move any books? This is ridiculous. And so you see the body language and how much time, we don't know, but how much time has Mark Victor Hansen put into developing that reputation of somebody being trustworthy? Well, it's taken him his whole life, but there are things that we can do right now to develop certain attributes that people are looking at when they're subconsciously deciding whether or not to trust us. And that's what I say. I say subconsciously. Okay? And if you've read the information, if you've listened to Kurt's chapter on influence, he talks about the 5 C's of trust. We're going to run through them today, and I'm going to give you a couple of things that you can do in each category to make yourself more trustworthy, to make it so that when you walk into that room, people feel good. Okay? I was working on something the other day where I made an introduction to two people on the phone. One of the guys is a supplier of some pretty desirable real estate, and the other is a buyer. And I made the introduction for these two. And this supplier keeps calling me wanting to talk to this buyer more and more. He's like, that guy's just fantastic. He's great. Well, if we were to break down what the buyer said on the phone, he didn't really even say anything. But he knows how to get somebody to trust him. Nothing concrete was divulged or said. All right? So, the 5 C's of trust being character, competence, confidence, credibility, and congruence. Those are the 5 C's of trust. Let's talk about what each of them means. Character. Anybody want to throw their 2 cents in the ring? What do you think character is? What does that mean, to have character?
Set of qualities that make you who you are. Your value system manifests through your behavior.
Okay, so our character is our value system manifest through our behavior. What does it mean to be of high character then?
One would typically assume that you have a high moral content, if you will. You're not
okay.
Like caught robbing a store, corner store, or the like. And you're more likely to embrace things of a positive nature, such as charitable giving and the like.
Right.
I'm done.
Take for example what's in the news right now, the governor of Illinois, right? And all the garbage that's surrounding that, and everybody's looking at this guy's whole life now, right? Because of what is being said about him, he's perceived to be of low character, which is essentially integrity and honesty. Okay? If people don't think that you have integrity, if they don't think that you have honesty, then your trust is going to take an obvious blow. Duh, right? So here's a couple of things to think about. Number one, don't be afraid to admit when you've made a mistake. If you sent the wrong email to somebody, if you were late, if you did this, if you did that, people know that we make mistakes, right? If somebody comes into the media and is in a big media spotlight and they're perceived to be perfect, the paparazzi follows them around and until they can catch them with hot fudge on their face or doing drugs or whatever, something horrible, right? You know, people want to find that, oh, okay, that person's not perfect. It makes them feel better. And people know that we're not perfect. We make mistakes, and that's okay. Admit some kind of minor mistake to your prospects, and they'll perceive you to be of higher character because you can admit that you did something wrong. You're honest. Okay? That's one example on character. What about competence? What does it mean to be competent? Basically, you're not stupid, right? Competence would be knowledge and ability. Go ahead, Glenn.
I was just going to say, presume to be good at what you do or know. Competence.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what you're doing, okay? And it's entirely possible to be competent but not have character, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And you can see how each of these is a component of trust, and if you're suffering in one area, all the others will suffer as well. Competence. I would encourage you to spend at least 10 minutes a day studying your field. Right? What do you do? Are you a marketer? Are you an investor? Just a few minutes every day studying your field is going to get you that extra one or two deals here and there. Because when a client asks you about something, you'll remember that a month ago you read about that, or you saw a report on that. Plus, it gives you a ton more confidence, which we'll get into. If you've got that 10 minutes every day going into what you do, you carry a different aura, you carry a different feeling about you. Now, if you went to your doctor and you saw that he had graduated from medical school in 1975, and he told you he hasn't been to any medical conferences or talked to any pharmaceutical reps or done anything between now and then, you would start to seriously question his competence, wouldn't you? Because the field changes. And that's a good thing, too. What evidence of competence do you have? We'll get into that in just a second. So 10 minutes a day studying your field. Number three, confidence. Okay? This would be conviction and belief. So you're going to see that as you get more competence, your confidence is going to go up. Now, sometimes we don't have enough competence, right? It's not possible for us all to know everything all the time. You just can't do it. But you're still going to have that confidence. Because the fact is, you really don't need to know everything in order to be able to help your prospects. It just makes them feel better to think that you do know everything, right? So confidence. This perceived confidence can be done through vocal tone, through posture, and through vocal inflection. I've told you on these calls before, take your vocal tone down at the end of your sentences. Right? If you're marketing a home-based business, instead of saying, well, tell me why you're looking for a home-based business, say, well, tell me why you're looking for a home-based business. That tone goes down. You're more confident in what you said, and they're more inclined to answer the question. Sitting straight up, keeping your shoulders straight back. You know, a lot of us spend the whole day hunched in front of a computer. When you get up in the morning, take your arm and pull it out to your side up against the door frame and kind of stretch out that pectoral muscle, and that's going to keep your shoulders from slumping forward. A square posture is automatically associated subconsciously with a square and confident personality. What about your verbal packaging? Ums, ers, you knows. When you got vocal fillers in your verbal packaging, you're going to seem less confident. All right. Credibility is the fourth C of trust. I like to call credibility the evidence of applied competence. All right, it's very possible for somebody to be very competent, but they really haven't done anything. Maybe they've just read a lot. Maybe they just know a lot. I know a lot about football, but I can't play it. Okay? Put me out there, I'm toast. So credibility would be evidence of the applied competence. Maybe it's you won such and such an award. Maybe you got such and such a degree. Maybe you had this magazine article written about you. That's credibility. All right? Is it more credible to go to some medical school in Latin America or to go to Harvard Medical School? All right, what kinds of sources would your audience consider to be credible? Some sources may not affect others. You know, Kurt had a big article written about him in a chiropractic magazine a few weeks ago. But if we're going in to talk to a bunch of stockbrokers, what do they care? Right? What's the source of your credibility? Where is it coming from? Is it universally respected? So display any kinds of certificates, graduations, articles, anything you can where your clients can see them. Put them on your website. Hang them up in your office so that they know you've got that credibility.
Steve, Dave, and Daytona.
Hey, Dave.
My question is, with the credibility, if, say, we didn't go to Harvard Law School, we're able to cite sources, though, of credible people that we know that, say, Martin Luther King said or Franklin Roosevelt or Dale Carnegie said so-and-so. Use that as part of our credibility because we have the knowledge and that a significant person has stated that this is to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not as powerful if it wasn't said directly about you.
Right. Right?
But we're going to take whatever we can get here. You know, you've got the ladder of credibility, which is, you know, a diploma from Harvard Law School with your name on it.
Right.
Or somebody said, Dave in Daytona is great. And then from there, we go down to ideas. You know, what have credible sources said about the ideas that we're promoting or that we're perpetuating here? Okay, people need to hear it from somebody other than you. That's what credibility is all about.
Right.
Law of social validation.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Congruence. Right? What does it mean to be congruent? Because this is a big one. Any ideas?
The degree to which you're in agreement with the other party, I would suspect.
That you're in agreement with the other party?
Yeah.
Okay.
The degree to which you are.
Yes, consistency and harmony. Do you practice what you preach?
Huh?
Right? It's kind of the whole fat personal trainer. Right? That's what it comes down to. People are looking at that kind of stuff. The skinny chef. Okay? The poor stockbroker. All that kind of stuff is going to be a problem with congruence. Okay? Well, just this morning I was marketing a package of investment properties to some people, and some associates of mine own this particular package, And they said, well, why don't these guys just, you know, sell it, you know, one by one if it's such a great deal? And I didn't know the answer to that. These guys obviously had their reasons, but my not knowing that, did that make my congruence suffer a little bit in the eyes of these guys? Absolutely. Okay. So congruence, do we practice? Well, we preach. Are you using your own product? Can you say that it's great? Can you, honestly? Right? If you don't know, here's a question to think about. Would you feel good selling it to your own mother? And if that's not the case, then you're not congruent. If we're not comfortable selling our product to those that we're closest to, then you've got some issues with congruence. And you look at the other four C's of trust that we've already talked about. As those come together, your perceived congruence will go up too. Okay? Does that make sense to everybody? We didn't get too far out in left field today. Some basic stuff. Do we have any comments or questions or anything that people would like to add?
This is Glenn in Cleveland. Can I
go ahead, Glenn.
Can I go back to what Dave had said, just briefly? In essence, it's a borrowed credibility by quoting sources and the like, but it also relates back to competence, because the very fact that you know that should reflect some degree of confidence in who you're talking to or trying to persuade. The fact that you know it, you can relate to it. I would also suggest that another tool in there might be case studies. They're educational in nature, but they can also convey, hey, this is what transpired, these were the circumstances, and this was the end result, which is what we're desiring here. You know, leading down a path of understanding, whatever. But it's a borrowed credibility, but it does kind of impart the fact that you hold a degree of competence because you have the knowledge or possess the knowledge and can relate it to the situation that you're dealing with at the time with the prospect or whomever you're dealing with. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, good points, Glenn. And if you really want to get crazy with this kind of stuff, as long as we're on credibility here, you know, what consider personality types of your clients. I've got a client who's a chiropractor, and he has a couple of different rooms where he adjusts patients. And we have customized each one of these rooms to be especially receptive and credible to any given personality type.
Hmm.
And so he's got all his files coded, you know, and so Fred shows up for his appointment, secretary shows him into the red room. And Bob shows up for his, he's in the yellow room. And how the credibility is built is based on, you know, are there diplomas in the wall, case studies, different things. You can see that those inherently would go and be more persuasive and credible with any given personality type. And so you can get pretty crazy with this kind of stuff. You know, do you have any kind of particular literature and different information packets that can be customized to personality types to generate higher perceived trust and higher credibility? Does that make sense?
That's a fantastic idea. Seems like it would create kind of a scheduling problem. You don't want to schedule all reds in one day if you've got one red room.
Yeah, but then again, if the doctor can only see one patient at a time, it's not a problem.
Right.
You know,
right.
He just goes out, oh, here's your next patient. He needs to be in that room too, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. That's great.
Yeah, it's been very helpful for him, very helpful. Well, good. Does anybody have any questions about how to apply this in their business? Or are you just burning up about something, wondering what to do? Or any other additional comments before we finish it up?
Yes, Dave again. I just wanted to mention that posture and how you carry yourself. And the person I look at is John Wayne. John Wayne studied for years on how to walk like that and how to move his body, how to give the impression that he was bold and strong, where here was a guy named Mary, grew up with the name Marion Morrison. But he became
right
not only because of the name, but because he learned to walk a certain way with a certain stride and have that certain confidence. And I've noticed, I noticed it today walking in the grocery store. I had a racing jacket on and my Indiana Jones hat, and I looked at a clerk, and she looked at me like, oh, who are you? And I just looked at her with a big grin and just gave her a wink and just walked past and, you know, gave the impression that, oh, he's somebody.
Yeah, well, she, you know, she went home telling her friends, hey, I met some famous guy today. I can't put a name on it, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
Well, picking up on that note, I wonder if he practiced how to talk.
Oh, geez, Glenn, you're killing me.
I know. Great catch.
Okay, well, good. If nobody else has anything, then we will wrap it up. Just an idea here of what's coming up. We will do a call next Thursday, but we'll be taking a couple of weeks after or off after that because we're running into Christmas and New Year's. So I'm sure you weren't planning on showing up anyways, but we won't be here. You'll be very lonely on the phone if you call in on those days. So with that, let's wrap it up. I'll give you my contact information if you have any questions you want to ask off the line. My phone number is 801-434-4022, extension 3019. And you can email me at steve@persuasioninstitute.com. I'm happy to help with whatever I can. Okay, everybody, have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Yep.
Good night, everyone.